Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, our tidbit is taken from the portion called Shmini, or Eighth. An eighth is referring to the eighth day after Aaron and his sons had been inaugurated into the priesthood. It was on this day that the Lord was to appear in the sanctuary, and thus, in preparation for his appearing, Moses called Aaron and his sons, and it says this in the text, "It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel." Now, as we read the text, you see that there were certain things that the leaders, and that is including the elders of Israel, the priesthood, Aaron, his sons. So all the leaders of Israel, there were certain things that these leaders were to do, not so that God would appear, but because God was going to appear. So now I want you to try to consider how they must have felt. They were notified he was going to appear. They're anticipating the arrival of the sovereign of the universe. How must the priests have felt? I mean, you would think they would want to make sure that everything was just as it should be. However, as the text records, almost as soon as the Lord appeared unto them, tragedy struck. Because this great and momentous day not only saw the divine presence descend into his dwelling place, in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary, but the same day was also marked by the death of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Avihu, as recorded for us in Leviticus 10. Then Nadab and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And so, as I said, on this same day that the Lord's presence appears, tragedy strikes, because Nadab and Avihu offered profane or strange fire. And that is understood to mean that it was something that was unconsecrated, had not been set apart, and it was something that was not commanded. Now, there are varying opinions as to exactly what this was, what happened, why it happened, but the bottom line is fire, and some believe that to be a lightning flash, came forth and consumed them. Now, whatever the fire was, it was a divine statement. And just what was that statement? Well, here's what Moses had to say in Leviticus 10, verse 3. "And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord spoke, saying, By those who come near me,'" meaning the priest, "'I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified.'" And so the response to this tragedy that Moses makes here, it says something or makes something very clear to me, and that is, this happened not because God is harsh and cruel, but because God is holy and he expects to be sanctified in the eyes of the people. If he relaxed his standards for anyone, including the priest, who could we depend on? Who could we place our trust in if his holiness was compromised, even for a moment, even for a second? Now, in an interesting footnote here, Nadab, that name, is related to the name Abinadab. Literally, Abinadab is father of Nadab. Abinadab, you may recall, was the one who housed the Ark of the Covenant in the time of David, and it was his son Uzzah that reached to steady the Ark and was struck dead. Why? Because God's mean and harsh? No. Because he's holy. And this is going to bring us to this observation. The sudden death of Aaron's sons, and we could throw Uzzah into this, stresses the point that God holds those in leadership to the strictest standards of justice and righteousness. The greater a man is in the kingdom, the stricter the standard by which he is judged. I mean, think of it logically. The people look to their leaders for guidance and for an example, and as a result of that, God is either going to be sanctified or profaned in the sight of the people by those who are closest to him, In this case, that would be the priest. Now, that's why, perhaps, upon the death of his sons, Aaron held his peace. He didn't say anything. He didn't rend his clothes. Maybe he didn't know what to say. Maybe he had no answer. Maybe he had resigned himself to what had happened. Whatever the case is, the text makes it very plain that as high priest, Aaron's responsibility took precedent over his son's death. In fact, Moses admonished him not to mourn at that particular time. Now, I'd like to interject this thought. Once again, when we see this, we're reminded, or at least I am, that God doesn't require of us something that He isn't willing to do or hasn't already done. And I say that because even though the Messiah could have justly opened his mouth and could have righteously argued a defense, nonetheless, Yeshua remained silent as He performed the Father's will, as He went to the cross. You see, the sanctity of His purpose as our high priest took precedent over anything He may have been thinking or anything He may have been feeling. Now, the text in our Torah portion goes on to tell us that Aaron's first cousins are the ones who actually carried the bodies outside of the camp because Aaron and his other sons had to remain pure while they were ministering in the Mishkan, the tabernacle. In other words, touching the dead bodies would have rendered them contaminated and unable to minister. In fact, Moses compels them to continue in their duties and to not show signs of grief because if they were to break down, their emotional collapse at that time would have had an effect on the entire camp, emphasizing yet again that God's people, particularly His leaders, like it or not, are held to a very high standard. Those who are appointed by Him to represent Him to the people, those who are chosen to minister to Him on behalf of the people, are held to holy standards. Thus, for all of us who consider ourselves His people, and I would add to that, particularly those who would consider themselves to be a leader, for lack of a better word, we need to take note of Paul's exhortation to the people in Thessalonica. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And I want to underscore that word sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. And so we're admonished to remain sober because, and we're going to put this in the context of the day in which we live, we know that the day of the Lord is at hand. We know that He will soon appear just as certainly as He did in the wilderness sanctuary. And so I want to emphasize that word that we underscored, sober. Because in this Torah portion, and after the death of Nadab and Abihu, God tells Aaron something that I find to be very intriguing in Leviticus 10, beginning in verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die." So it would seem very important. "It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all of the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." And so I read this because there's this link between the intoxicating drink and the death of his sons. In fact, some traditions believe that whatever Aaron's sons did in offering strange fire, it was because they were intoxicated when they did it. Entering the sanctuary under the influence of wine would obviously, potentially anyway, confused their thinking or led them to be less considerate of exactly what had to be done at that moment and presumably would have inhibited their ability to discharge their duties beyond that. And by that, I mean this. They would have been unable to clearly distinguish between clean and unclean, holy and common. So that brings us to this. God's people at large, and specifically those who are chosen to lead, must be able to teach with sobriety. They must be able to teach the difference between light and darkness, right and wrong. Because our service to God cannot be based exclusively on emotion and or opinion, but on a clear understanding of the Scripture and sobriety. And this notion is emphasized by the prophet Ezekiel. He writes in chapter 44, "No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court, and they shall teach my people," that is, the priests, "shall teach my people the distinction or the difference between the holy and the unholy, and they shall cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy," and this is very important here, "in controversy they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." So they need to be sober so that they can render proper judgment. God's people must have a clear mind in order to render righteous judgment, and in order to make sound biblical decisions. The prophet Malachi says this, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he," that is the priest, "is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." And so that underscores the idea that he should be sober, not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. In previous portions, we read what happened when all the preparation work was done. That is, the Shekinah, the presence of God, descended and it filled the house. In this Torah portion, we learn that the priests and the leaders were to attend to certain duties because the Lord, His presence, the Shekinah, was to appear. And so we should learn from this that there are things, standards, that are expected of us as His people, things that we are to do in anticipation of His appearing. Put simply, because He is to appear, we are to do what He has commanded. If we truly believe that the day of the Lord is at hand, we can ill afford to be lazy and wicked servants. We can't afford to forfeit all that was entrusted to us. Now is certainly not the time to be striking one another, whether that's literally or with our words. Now is not the time to fail in our duties, but to be sober. We can't afford to be associated with the drunkards of this world. We must be attentive to our duties as the servants, as the priests of the Most High God. Just as Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel were alerted to the fact that the Lord was soon to appear, we too should be reminded of the admonishment to walk upright, to walk straight in expectation of Yeshua's return, as we're told in 2 Peter. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God?" And so there's the admonishment. Just as Aaron and his sons were alerted to the fact that he would appear, we too, because we know he will appear, we should do what he has commanded, and we should live up to what he expects from us, because, ladies and gentlemen, he has great expectations. Well, that's this week's Torah Tidbit. Thank you for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.